Well, it sounds like you're ready. Welcome back. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for these times we can come together to look into your word, learn from it, in particular, Lord, as it reflects and even often counters what we see going on in our world. Thank you for the ability to know the truth, because you've given us the truth, so we can identify the false when we see it. Lord, our prayer is not just to expose the false, Lord, but that you would transform us into ambassadors of yours that can reach out to others in a loving way and share with them the truth and love of Jesus. So, Lord, I do ask your blessing upon our lesson tonight. I pray that you would be honored by it. I pray, Lord, that my words would be accurate and compassionate. And, Lord, we just give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Are you ready for this? Okay. Tonight's lesson, I came up with the word messy. It's a messy one in that it is very controversial. It is messy in that people of the world are very passionate about it. It is messy in that nobody really knows what it is. In other words, nobody can clearly define the topic that I'm going to give you tonight, what we're going to talk about tonight, or even if what they're teaching would actually change anything. All right, and I'll get into this, and you'll kind of see what I mean. The truth of the matter is it means something different to a lot of people. It means something different to almost anyone you ask. But it is also a teaching that claims to be the hero of for everyone, okay? Our topic tonight is social justice. Don't get up and walk out, please, because I think it is important that we look at what the Bible says about how to treat one another. This absolutely needs to be discussed. After all, that is what the social justice movement proclaims to be concerned with. This is something that needs to be talked about. How we treat one another is a paramount teaching in the Bible. And so really, and any discomfort that we may be feeling about this topic now that I've brought it up, is because we've been taught to feel that. All right. The truth of the matter is we have all been created in God's image and according to his likeness. That is biblical. We are all loved and valued by God. That is biblical. We must treat one another as we would like to be treated. That is biblical. But it is unbiblical to treat certain people better than other people. That is partiality. That is racism. And those who are of the social justice mindset might be saying right now, exactly, all people need to be treated fairly. And that is why I think this topic tonight is so messy, for we're going to see that social justice, and we're talking about government. In fact, I'm going to show you a video here in a minute that's slightly on the political side, but it gives us an idea of what this is all about, okay? It is messy, but we're going to see that social justice, really, whatever it is actually propagating the very thing that it desires to counter. And I believe that there are people, Christians, who truly believe social justice is how we fix racism and oppression of people. And they're very sincere in their belief. I agree that both racism and oppression are happening in our world and even right in our country. I agree that perhaps even we have been guilty of it. I agree that it is wrong and it must be corrected. But I don't believe that social justice from a governmental standpoint is the answer. Okay, so I have a couple of videos. Like I said, the first clip that I've got here for you is a little bit on the political side, and then we'll go from there. But here it is.
Try this at your next party. Ask your guests to define the term social justice. Okay, it's not charades or Twitter, but it should generate some interesting conversation, especially if your guests are on the political left. Since everyone on that side of the spectrum talks incessantly about social justice, they should be able to provide a good definition, right? But ask 10 liberals to tell you what they mean by social justice, and you'll get 10 different answers. That's because social justice means anything its champions want it to mean. Almost without exception, labor unions, universities and colleges, private foundations, and public charities claim that it is part of their mission to be the spreading of social justice far and wide.
Let's get the conversation started. Equity is not the same as equality. What if the shoe industry designed all shoes to fit an average size? What if they made all shoes equal? That sounds ridiculous because we are all different sizes. We don't try to make everyone fit the same shoe. We design for variability. That's equity. Each person is provided access to what is needed. To further illustrate this point, consider giving everyone the same box to stand on to look over a fence. This is equality, but it doesn't make any sense to give someone something to stand on if it's not needed. Instead, we want to provide what is actually needed for each person to have access. This is illustrated in this image of the first person. The second person got just what was needed. The third person in this illustration gets assistance, but it doesn't solve the issue. Consider this picture. This is equity. Each person gets what is needed in order to provide access. What is needed varies between circumstances. Resources are allocated differently to allow everyone opportunities for success. But what if there was a way to remove the barrier for everyone? Instead of providing resources, we consider how to remove the barrier for all. Equity is promoting justice, impartiality, and fairness within the procedures, processes, and distribution of resources by institutions or systems. This is justice. You already know examples of this through universal design, cuts in the sidewalks, changes the font size or contrast on the phone, and buttons to open doors automatically. Are all examples of removing barriers for all. Universal design not only provides access for those with a disability, but it benefits everyone. Considering barriers, looking for options to remove barriers, and providing access for all examples of promoting equity. Change starts from within. Keep engaging and learn to make a difference. Let's continue the conversation.
All right, so the video is telling us, and this promotional video for social justice telling us to have a conversation. So we are going to do that tonight. And just to define some things for you, don't have a slide for this, but just kind of lock it in the back of your mind. Social means to be devoted to friendly companionship and human society. It's basically getting along, all right? Wanting to get along. Justice means giving to everyone what is due him. And due means they get what they ought to get. It may not be what they need, okay, according to the definition of these words, but they get what they ought to get. So what does modern social justice teach? And I'm calling it modern because the term or terms like it have actually been around a long time, and it has not always meant what people see it to mean today. If you want to get technical, really technical, justice is justice. There really is no such thing as social justice, because all justice has to do with people in a given society. And again, today you can ask 10 people what it means to them and really get 10 different answers depending upon what it is they want to champion. But here are some things that modern social justice teaches. And of course, I showed you the promotional video, but some core things that come out as you look at what it teaches. Certain kinds of people have been oppressed, all right? Many black people have been oppressed very fiercely, even up until 50 years ago, right in this country. Even today, I do believe that there is oppression taking place towards certain people by certain people. The slave trade of 400 years ago made it a very Western world issue. But social justice, as we're looking at it here today, includes oppression of any minority group, whether it be nationality, whether it be race, whether it be sexual orientation, whether it be children, whether it be women. It obviously includes the poor. In fact, really, the main goal, one of the main goals, I should say, of social justice is the elimination of the poor and the rich. Certain kinds of people have been oppressed. Secondly, the rich have exploited the poor. The rich are the problem. They have gained their wealth through taking advantage of people who have less. They have taken from them to get what they have. That's what social justice today is, one of the things that it's teaching. Another one is white people have exploited everyone. Okay, and I don't say that to be humorous, okay, but white people have all the money and control, they say, and white women and white gay people are not quite as bad, but they have also been exploited. But white people have exploited everyone. The next one is egalitarianism can solve the poverty and oppression problem, all right? If all of the wealth and all of the property were equally distributed to everyone, we could have really a true brotherhood because we would all be the same and no one would even have a reason to oppress one another. All right. Our video called it equity. And I've got another slide for another section, but the top one didn't come up. The top one, there's supposed to be three equity things there. The top one is equity requires income redistribution. Equity requires income redistribution, and then equity requires property redistribution. Equity requires equality of outcome. But concerning income redistribution, those who have more must give to those who have less. Concerning property, those who have property must give to those who don't. In fact, the real goal, they say it would be best if nobody owned anything. And that way there could be no one with more power or influence than anyone else. Everywhere and everything is open to everyone. Basically, it would be utopia. And then equity requires equality of outcome. And that is really where the word equity comes in. That is another reason this is a messy topic, because the word equity in accord with justice, okay, constitutionally has to do with getting a fair trial. But now it's being used for fairness, as they define it in everything. In other words, those who have natural disadvantages concerning their physical capability, mental capability, emotional capability, financial capability, should be able to have what everyone else has, like shoes and the ability to see a ball game in the video, all right? And then it also teaches that the Bible endorses social media. Social media, yeah. Yeah. I was on social media earlier today. Social justice, thank you. That is the right word, yes. Here's a few verses that they would call out. Listen to them close. Acts 7:24, speaking of Moses, says, "And he, seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed." In Acts 4:34 and 35, speaking of the church, it says, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of those things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need." Psalm 10:17 and 18. "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more." Psalm 146:7. "Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry." Psalm 82:3 and 4, "Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked." So they would say that the Bible endorses social justice. And then they teach that the government is the tool to accomplish it. If everyone were convinced, or perhaps mandated, to participate, there would be no more rich, no more poor, no more reason to oppress, and every race, nation, walk of life, preference of religion, preference of sexuality would live as one. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You too. All right. The government is the tool to accomplish it. And these are some of the main things that social justice does teach. So our question, I guess, our next question, why is social justice a false teaching? Why am I calling it out as a false teaching tonight? I mean, many of these things that we've talked about, even the scripture verses, they sound right. The Bible clearly communicates the sin of oppression and the encouragement of sharing everything that we have been blessed with. So from a biblical perspective, what is the problem? What do you think? Amanda? Okay, absolutely. From the biblical perspective, this should be our heart's desire to willingly do that rather than it being mandated. Jeff?
And it's true. That's what it's encouraging, and that's why we have all the charities that we have, because we recognize that, and those are supposed to be the funnels in which we go through, not the government mandating it. When you go back, in the 50s and 60s, the hospital, the medical system, it was all religion. It was St. Michael's and St. this, and it was all non-profit.
Right. And the amount of volunteers that worked in hospitals and the medical field back then was astronomically higher than it is today.
Yeah, it's biblically encouraged, but it's not mandated. And Simple Man, where they say you're going to have this utopia, ultimately, somebody will rise in any type of socialism. You will have people rise to dictatorship, and you will go back to oppression again. It just happens every single time.
Right, and we'll talk about it a little bit here in a minute, but I can't remember the fellow's name of the World Economic Forum. He was talking about the ideal would be if nobody owned anything. Okay. What's and they will be happy. The thing is somebody has to own everything then. I'll do it. Right? No, it's going to be governments, and we know how trustworthy they are. Anyway, I'm getting off target here. But anyway, go ahead, Elmo.
None of this fits well with human nature without God.
Right.
That human nature without God, communism will never work.
Absolutely. And I do believe that there will one day be the ideal socialistic society when Jesus is king. All right? Yes. And there will be perfect justice. All right, we are off topic a little bit. This has, though, this political aspect of this is infiltrating the church. I have heard of churches that sing John Lennon's song, Imagine, as a hymn, all right? A racial divide is being blatantly and subtly propagated right in the church. My inspiration for doing this particular lesson was a book by Vodi Bakum. I'm sure some of you know who that is, called Fault Lines. And in this book, he goes about describing the division, a sharp, strong, cutting division taking place in the church right now because of this teaching. Many big name church leaders are embracing it. Andy Stanley, that probably wouldn't surprise you. Tim Keller, Phil Vischer, VeggieTales creator, okay? Paul Tripp, Max Licato. The racial divide is being blatantly and subtly propagated in the church. And you've got these people that are, you know, borderline famous in the church, and they have people following them. Okay? So the racial divide is being blatantly and subtly propagated in the church. Here's an example. This is just a quick 1 minute Bible lesson right off of YouTube. Okay? And, well, I'll just let you watch it and we'll talk about it when it's done.
Did you know a runaway slave once became one of Christianity's most beloved leaders? In 61 AD Rome, a desperate man named Onesimus was hiding in the shadows. He had stolen from his master Philemon and fled hundreds of miles from home. If caught, he faced crucifixion or being thrown with wild animals for entertainment. Runaway slaves had no rights, no hope, and no future. But somehow, this fugitive encountered the Apostle Paul in prison. Paul shared the gospel, and everything changed for Onesimus. The thief became Paul's trusted partner in ministry, helping spread God's word. Then Paul made a shocking decision. He sent a message back to face his master, but he carried a revolutionary letter asking Philemon to receive him as a beloved brother, not a slave. That moment changed everything. The gospel transformed both men's hearts. God took Onesimus' worst failure and turned it into his greatest purpose. No matter what you've done, your past doesn't disqualify you from God's plan. He can transform anyone into who they were created to be.
All right. Simple Bible lesson about Onesimus in the book of Philemon here. Did you see any way that a racial divide was propagated there? Elmo?
The fact that Onesimus was portrayed as being black.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're portraying, because they're calling him a slave, he must have been black because this has been the history. And again, I'm not trying to downplay slavery and what has happened in this country and in the Western world, but Onesimus was not black. Onesimus was a native of Colossae. He was most likely European. Could have been Asian, maybe a mix, but he is here deliberately portrayed as black person, really, and I believe propagating, inadvertently maybe even. I don't know who put together that little lesson, but inadvertently propagating this racial divide in the church. But the truth is, black people are not the only people who have been oppressed. People of every single ethnic group, nationality, race have been oppressed by someone at some time. But in our country today, and in many parts of the world, the social justice movement wants to believe that it's only certain people that have been oppressed, and they've been most oppressed by rich, white Christians who need to be brought low. And therefore, it is a false teaching. Here are a few reasons that I've got for you. All right, we did that video. I think the social justice movement is racist. I think it is racist. I do have another video for you here.
Do you agree or disagree with the following statement? It is okay to be white.
No,
what kind of grade do you want to make this class? I believe in the ancient view of justice that goes to the left. I don't believe in environmental justice, or racial justice, or social justice. And we need to go straight into how Aristotle defines justice. It is the messiest of all groups, but one of the most necessary. And it's very simple, giving man what he should. So justice has a preference on human agency and action. You did this, you get that. Social justice is, you look like this, therefore this should happen. And I would respond again, depending on what kind of grade you want to get, and say, liberty matters a lot more to you than social justice. And then you might have to retake the course at a different time.
I do believe that racism has been given new life through the social justice movement. I think it's been given new life against blacks, and that it's harder for a person to treat another well if they think that other person hates them. Also against whites. White racism apparently is a real thing. I mean, I've been alive 60 years now, and I believe that I have seen a greater divide in general between white people and black people than I ever saw before. Social justice has done that. You see, it almost sounds corny to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The body of Christ should be colorblind. Again, it almost sounds useless to say that, for we all are just people. I'm not white. I'm tan. All right? I'm beige. I'm light brown. My brother Marvin, he's a little browner than me. Okay? My brother Ben, back in the back room, he's a little browner than me. My brother Jesse, just a little browner than me. I'm browner in the summer than I am right now. Okay? But social justice has made race a great big thing again. It is brought racism back to life. Also, it overgeneralizes. And that's kind of a broad subpoint, I know. But if it says if you are this color, you're being oppressed whether you know it or not. If you're this gender, you're being oppressed whether you know it or not. If you're gay or trans, you're being oppressed. The Bible simply says that oppression is wrong and that every believer should stand up and defend those individuals who are truly being oppressed. So this very much overgeneralizes. It puts everybody in one category or the other. The suppression of sin is not unjust. What might I mean by that?
Laws are needed,
okay. So yeah, so justice plays a part there. We're talking about social justice, right? Other thoughts on that? It's kind of an open-ended question. I just didn't know where you'd go with it, but thoughts on that. What do you think I mean by that? The suppression of sin is not unjust. Would it be possible if I told someone who was practicing homosexuality that they are sinning, that they could say to me, "That's hateful, you're oppressing me." They could say that. They do. My point is the reason I think social justice is false is because the suppression of sin is not unjust. Okay, it is right to call out sin. Like Rick said, that's why we have laws. Okay? We as Christians should stand against sexual perversion, abortion, racism, and the destruction that it causes in the lives of people. These are the very things that social justice is promoting. Sexual perversion, abortion, racism, destruction of lives. The truth is, many people who believe that they are being oppressed are not being oppressed. They're simply being sinful. And God is against their sin, as should we be. It's materialistic. It's all about the temporal. Redistribution of income, property, for equal earthly outcomes. Luke 12:15, he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he possesses." Wealth in itself is not evil. It is a great tool. 1 Timothy 6:17-18 says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share." Notice that the commandment is not for them to give. The commandment is for them not to be haughty and trust in uncertain riches. And then the encouragement is, let them do good. Let them be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Wealth in itself is not evil. It is a great tool. And wealth is relative. Wealth is relative. What does that mean? Jeff?
Yeah, so if you look at the poorest person in the United States,
right.
If you look at these other countries, they have nothing.
Yeah.
They have nothing to look forward to. So their Christianity and their belief in what's to come in heaven is all they have to hold on to.
Right. Yeah, concerning the people of this country, and I understand, yes, there are absolutely poor and destitute people in this country. Okay. But if social justice is really going to have an impact in the world, I think people need to know that the poor in this country will be giving more too. Okay? For they are rich as compared to the rest of the world. Equality in creation means we are all people valued by God. I just got one verse that I'll read to you here, but there's a couple listed there. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." We're going to come to the solution here, but I'll just give it to you. If you really want peace, if you really want to be part of a community that truly loves and cares for and shares with one another and fills the needs of one another, Christ is the only answer. Jesus Christ is the only answer. Social justice, equality. All right, where am I here? Equality in creation means we're all people valued by God. All right. Social justice's equity is not biblical. In 1 Samuel 2:7, it says, I think that we need to hear this, okay? It says, the Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. Ephesians 6:5 says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Ephesians 6:9, and you masters, do the same things to them. Give up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And this is not an endorsement of slavery, but a fact of this sin-filled world. This is the world we live in, and this is how we make the best of it in Christ. Poverty will not go away until sin does. In Matthew 26:11, Jesus said, "For you have the poor with you always, but me do you not have always." Of course, he's speaking to his disciples. Proverbs 19:15, "Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger." Poverty will not go away until sin does, and then charity must be voluntary. That's what the word means, by the way. Charity is where we get our word grace, which is unmerited favor. When we give charity, we're giving unmerited favor to somebody else. It must be voluntary. Acts 4:34 and 35, speaking of the church, "Nor was there anyone among them who lacked." I'm using the same verse to defend my side that they used to defend their side. "There was none among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of land and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need." It was voluntary, willingness. It was a love offering. 2 Corinthians 9:7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly." When was the last time you paid taxes not grudgingly? That's not charity. It's not charity. "So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And that "of necessity" means like we feel obligated, okay? Leviticus 22:29, "And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will." And anything else really is meaningless in the eyes of God. Mandated social justice would be like the offerings that God hates. All right. Christian charity must be God-honoring. How would mandated redistribution of wealth counter that? How could it? It's man deciding where my money should go and where might it go. Ron? To feed someone else's sin, yes. All right, yeah, absolutely. To something that I don't want to support. The killing of innocent babies, okay? But that's how it works. Christian charity must be God-honoring, and that, again, is why I am opposed to social justice. Modern social justice has become cult-like. That is not my words. That's Vodi Bakum's words. In his book called Fault Lines, he points out the pretty much cult-like mentality of social justice in the church and the way it's dividing the church. His book, again, I told you, is what inspired this lesson. We don't see it, I don't think, as greatly in our area as if we were to go to some of the bigger cities. But there are liberal Christian churches today that are so on board with the social justice movement that if you are not, they doubt your salvation. And that's what Vodi said. He wasn't joking about that, okay? Christ is the only way to minimize oppression. It's the family of God. That's the only way. And we are still sinners. We still mess up all of the time. So that's why I put minimize. But Christ is the only way to minimize true oppression. Galatians 3:28 describes this church body that we belong to. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Elmo.
When it comes to oppression, it might be a great opportunity to read the Bible to him about sin oppresses.
Sin is the great oppressor, yes.
I'm saying, if you don't like my homosexuality, you're oppressing me, you could say, no, your sin is.
That's right. Well, we talked about that the Sunday before Thanksgiving, talking about captivity. We are literally slaves to our sin. Or can be. All right. The government will not fix the problem. As we've seen, I think they're actually making it worse. In fact, all of the Psalms that I quoted that supposedly they say endorse social justice, and I quoted them early on, actually speak of God being the solution, not the government. All right, so where is the harm in participating? Modern social justice, it invests in evil interests. What are some evil interests that social justice might invest in? What's that, John? Planned Parenthood. Perversion. Cindy? Okay, yeah. They take the parental, God-given rights of parents away so that children can do sin behind their back. It invests in evil interest. It actually creates poverty. How can social justice create poverty?
It takes money from the people that have and gives to people that don't, that squander it, and then nobody's got money.
Okay, yeah. It takes away all incentive, really, to earn, start a business, take a risk, right? Okay. It removes any reward or incentive of hard work. It perpetuates greed. How might it perpetuate greed? Cindy?
I want what you have.
Yeah, that's right. You have a lot. I have little. Give me what you have. Absolutely. Are only the rich greedy? No, We just talked about that. We kind of mentioned this earlier too, but if social justice went fully into its utopian dream, who ends up having everything? The government. The government. It promotes false guilt. None of my family were here in this country during its slavery era, nor did they come from a country where they had slaves, yet I am supposed to feel guilty because of what happened in this country. And really, I did a lot of thinking about this, okay? If anyone in this country has benefited from slavery, everyone in this country has benefited from slavery, whether one is black or white or whatever. So I guess we're all on the guilty side. It insults honest people. I have a video, and this one's a little bit longer, about 4 minutes.
Does it promote false pride too? Look what I've done.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think that's, it isn't false pride. I think false humility is pride. And that's the next point, Rick. You got ahead of me.
Hi, Warren. I'm here in Berkeley, California, to find out if voter ID laws suppress the black vote. Yes. Yes.
Because they're less likely to have state IDs.
Minority voters are less likely to have the kinds of IDs that have been described or required.
Areas with easy access to EMVs or places where they get identification.
You know, you have to do the internet. That also would make it difficult for black people in particular.
Yeah, you have to have access to the internet. You have to be able to pay an internet service provider for certain fees.
Do you think that's hard for black people to go online?
Well, I feel like you don't have the knowledge of how it works. For most of the community, they don't really know what these out there, so they're not aware. So they're not informed. I also think there's a question of like black voting with how if you're a convicted felon, like you're not allowed to vote and everything, and when you look at some states like Florida, that's a huge population of the like African Americans.
Now I'm here in E-Parliament to ask black people their thoughts on what you just heard. Do you have ID, Carlos? Carry ID?
Yes, I have ID.
You carry ID?
Yes, I do.
Do you know anybody, any black person doesn't carry ID?
No.
Everyone, but I don't have ID.
Well, they think you don't have ID.
My friends are there, so we know what we need to carry around.
Yeah, everybody that I know has ID, like, that's one of the things you need to walk around with.
Do you know any black adult who does not have ID?
No, I don't.
Is it a weird thing to even say that?
Yeah. What is this? Some type of trivia to tell us?
I know, I.
That's the only thing I brought with me. Those are the two ideas. I heard a lot also that black people can't figure out how to get to the DMV.
What's
that saying? I know
what that is. You know what that is? You have to
get to the DMV, right? It's 125th Street. You want to get there? Yeah. Do you have a problem getting there? You have to get there?
Oh.
I know you sound like a silly question. You know how to get to the DMV?
Oh,
I know where it is?
Yeah.
You can get there?
Uh-huh.
No problem.
No problem.
Let's check.
Okay.
And I also heard a lot that black people, especially poor black people, have no access to the internet, can't figure out how to use the internet. Your phone has data?
Unlimited.
Are you comfortable
with the hotspot?
What does that say to people who have
the perception of money?
Oh.
I don't know what they're doing.
I just think that's ignorant.
Very, very ignorant.
Does it sound racist for somebody to say that?
I don't think it is a little racist because you are putting people in a category they have no idea what you're talking about.
Maybe a little bit of racist in it, but like I said, I think it's more stupidity and ignorance.
Judges are black, right? Yeah, the judges are black, they say they're black.
Do you have a problem if you go to Rome and they say you please see your ID to make sure it's more of a city one?
Are you not showing my ID?
You have a problem with that?
No.
Would you have a problem if when you go to Rome they say you please decide to see your ID to make sure it's more of a city one?
No.
Would you have a problem with a rule where you have to show your ID to go to Rome?
I don't think so. No.
Would you have an issue if there was a rule saying you got to show your ID before you go?
All right, a little bit again of a political hot topic there, but my point is, it insults honest people. How insulting is that? And then, as Rick pointed out, it creates false humility. What is false humility? Pride. How did you know that, Rick? Pride in disguise. Did you see any instances of pride in that video? Self-exaltation.
Yes.
What?
They don't know how to use their computer.
Yeah, it's just completely looking down. Like I said, I really do believe that this has done more to greaten racism than it ever has to help it.
We can't afford it.
Yeah, right.
They must not know any black people.
Maybe that's it. They were interviewing kids in Berkeley, California. So anyway, that all right. So it creates false humility. What else have I got here for you? Okay, the social justice fence video that we watched at the beginning, to be accurate, should have focused on what was happening on the other side of the fence. So what was happening on the other side of the fence? What was that? All right, yeah, it was mostly the baseball game is what I wanted to focus on. There was a baseball going on, and had they focused on what was going on the other side to demonstrate what social justice did, I think that would be more accurate, okay? It's not about small shoes and stacked boxes. That was just a crafty illustration. Really, it's about pitching slower for some players. It's about moving the bases closer together for some people. It's about intentional errors that everyone can make it to home plate. It's about not keeping score, or better yet, it would be about whoever scores the most at the end of the game, they give the other team half their points. Okay? It's about all of the players getting paid exactly the same. That one I'm actually for. But if they promoted it that way, there would be a lot fewer people for social justice, because it truly is insulting, I think, in nature. I got one last slide. I'll leave it up there a long time, but we'll go through it here just quickly and then we'll be done. But what should we do? Well, we should do all of our work as unto the Lord, okay? 2 Thessalonians 3:10 actually says, addressing people in the church, he says, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." All right? And there's nothing wrong with work. Even before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam work to do. Work is good. Work is good. And all of our work should be done as unto the Lord. Give as unto Jesus. I mean, everything that we do should be done as unto Jesus, and especially our giving. In fact, Matthew 25:25 talks about when you give somebody a glass of cold water, you're giving it to me. Do good to the less fortunate. 1 Timothy talks about just that exactly. I don't remember what the verse says actually, but I'm sure it works. Deliver the oppressed. We are to watch out for those who are being treated unfairly, and individually be a help to them. Do it from our heart, because that's what the Lord has done for us. Do good for the glory of God. Everything that we do should be done for the glory of God. Invest in the kingdom. Here's one you don't want to hear, but pay your taxes. I mean, even today, there are things that our money that we give, it goes to things that do not honor God, but that is no reason to not pay taxes. And then, be content. Be content with such things as you have. Any thoughts, comments, questions, John?
Well, over the years, we've all heard phrases that essentially are saying almost the same thing. We could start back with the Communist Manifesto. And the essence of it was, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need.
Right.
Then we're hearing World Economic Forum saying, you shall own nothing and you shall be nothing.
Yeah.
Today is the participation. All of these three well-known phrases are essentially talking about no obedience to truth and righteousness. They're all about what somebody can do for you.
Yeah, for sure. Other thoughts? Richard?
I guess it always bothers you when you talk about slavery in this country and you forget about the fact that slavery started in Genesis.
Yeah, right. Slavery has been a part of our sin-filled world from the beginning of its sin-filled history. Yeah. Cindy?
So I read that this rich couple gave a whole bunch of money, $1 billion or so. So that every kid under the 2025 could have $1,000 in a bank, and you know, so their parents could put money towards it. So, you know, equalizing society is just the way I looked at it. Now, yes, their heart's in the right place, but I also know that they can write off that money that they just gave for the next several years, because you can do that with your taxes.
Right.
So it's like, is it really given?
I don't know their heart, and if they did it voluntarily, but more power to them. Yeah.
Good as someone like myself who has taught inner city at-risk children is going to benefit from that. I'll tell you right now who's going to get it is their parents.
And yeah, I mean, you're probably right.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably right. But, you know, I'm not going to fault the person who wanted to give that. And who knows, maybe if there are two of those children that received that and put it into a bank account and it helped two children, praise the Lord. Yeah. Elmo?
I hope I'm not sounding out of place, but I think we also can pray for these churches that have fallen into the trap.
Praying is never out of place, Elmo.
But it's really been effective. God has answered our prayers when we pray for the black churches, for the body, Gotham, and other. others to write books about the revival taking place in the black churches
right.
that are not woke and are not falling into these traps. So I just encourage everybody to pray for any one of the ideas that we talked about tonight, that God would have his way.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And again, this wasn't meant to be an anti-socialism lesson. This was meant to be the exposing of a false teaching that is entering our environment, the church environment, and tainting it, leading people astray. Richard?
Somebody that who was for social justice, and we asked this: if you take the A that you got in your sociology class
right.
and give it to the one who got a C, so you can also both have a B.
Right.
And they said,
right.
Absolutely not. I work for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When it comes to grades, and there's a video. I think I showed it here a couple years ago in another series that we did where a guy went around interviewing college students, see if they do that to give their A's or at least part of their grade to kids that are flunking so they won't flunk the class. All right. We are over time. Let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for our time tonight. And it is a messy, messy topic, Lord, in our sin-filled world. But thank you for the clarity of your word so that we can make our way through it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.